Well, you probably heard, everybody's talking about it, our men's Bible study group started a new series this month. Right? You'd like this. You would like this, by the way. But you got to be a guy, so you wouldn't, yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah, you probably heard that we're exploring the origins, kind of the backstory, on some of our favorite hymns. That's what we're doing. Each month through the end of the year, we're going to look at three hymns. And, listen to them, read the lyrics, and find out who wrote them, you know, and what the inspiration was for having written them, and in most cases, what their connection is to the scriptures, that sort of thing. Now, this month, the other week, Sterling wasn't there. He picked all three of these, and then he didn't make it. See what happens? You get called out. They were, "Great is thy faithfulness, how great thou art, and amazing grace." Pretty good, right? Good choices. Good choices, Sterling. Next month, we're targeting "It Is Well With My Soul," which you just heard Troy sing really well. "Holy, Holy, Holy," which is one of Barry's favorites. One of mine, too. And "Oh, Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Three more good ones. Good ones. That's what we're going to do next month. Now, in the words of a guy named Walter Lander, quote, "Music is God's gift to mankind, the only art of heaven given to earth, and the only art of earth we take with us back to heaven." Yeah. Kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? I mean, music has certainly been an important part of worship, kind of an expression of praise, right? Here on earth, including here, right here in this congregation, for thousands of years, many, if not most, of the Psalms are inscribed as being written, quote, "for the director of music." You may have noticed that in your Bibles. Or sometimes it just simply says, as being a song. In fact, the word psalm itself is from the Greek word meaning to strum, or play a stringed instrument. So yeah, music is an important part of worship. It's an important part of the Bible. It's important in the Bible. It's certainly not discouraged, that's for sure. And that brings us to our song of praise today, appropriately titled as a song of praise, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And boy, just stop for a second and ponder the power of that title. What a lyric, right? Ugh. "A mighty fortress is our God." Then it goes on to say, "A bulwark never failing." A bulwark. A defensible, not a word we use every day, right? A bulwark. It's a defensive wall, never failing, like a rampart. It's a good lyric. I mean, right out of the gate, the first lines, the strength of God is what it's about. Now, is that strength of God against us, out to get us? No. The very next line in that song says, "Our helper amid the flood of mortal ills." Our helper through life here on earth. We've talked about this a lot lately, haven't we? The floods, right? The floods of life, they will happen. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble, not might, you will. So we need to be ready. We talked about that too. We need to be ready. And we need God's help. That's very, very important. Okay, so who wrote these fabulous lyrics to "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God"? Was it written recently? by, you know, Michael W. Smith or Amy Grant or somebody? No. No. This hymn is considered to be the most powerful hymn, sort of the battle cry of the Protestant Reformation, of which we're all a part, right here in Bowmanville, Pennsylvania. The hymn, that hymn, was written 500 years ago by none other than Martin Luther himself. Martin Luther, the Augustinian monk, who became so disillusioned with the practices and the doctrines of the Roman Church that in the year 1517, he nailed his list of complaints to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. And thus began the Protestant Reformation. That's what started it all, kicked it off. And this hymn, among others, really led the way. It was the battle cry. It led the charge. And it's based in part on the 71st Psalm, which we read from today. It's printed right there in your program. The hymn talks about the never-failing power of God to help us and to defend us against the challenges of life, and specifically against the, quote, prince of darkness, the devil himself. Now, Martin Luther was quoted right around the year 1520, which was the year he was excommunicated from the church. I'm always amazed that he didn't get burned to the stake. I don't know how he escaped that, but he did. But he was excommunicated from the church. He said this, quote, "Music is a gift and grace of God, not an invention of men. Thus, it drives out the devil and makes people cheerful. The devil, the originator of anxieties and troubles, flees before the sound of music." Kind of a nice thought. Isn't that a nice thought? And Luther, Martin Luther, he left a little mystery, sort of a riddle for us at the end of verse 3. Now he's talking there again about the devil. And he's talking about our ability to prevail over him. Now listen to what it says. Says this in that song, verse 3, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure." And then here's the closing words. "One little word shall fell him." One little word will defeat the devil. But what is it, right? What is it? We want to know it. What's the little word? He doesn't quite tell us. He wants us to think it through. It's a riddle of sorts. And people have been thinking about that and debating it for 500 years, for the past 500 years. You know, and it's not something that a reasonable person would get in an argument over. There's different opinions about it. Some people, for instance, think that the one little word that Luther is referring to is the name Jesus. That at the sound of the name Jesus, the devil would flee. Okay, could be. That could be. But if so, I wonder why Luther would refer to it as one little word, as opposed to, you know, one big beautiful name or something like that, right? I just wonder about that. Other people wonder too. Okay, the theory that I liked the most as I read different theories on this topic, the theory I liked the most was written by a young seminary student whose name was Young. His name was Bryce Young. He wrote a nice article on this back in 2017. Now, he thinks, and I agree, that the clue to this starts in the beginning of verse 3. Now, listen to what it says. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Truth will triumph over the devil. That's kind of the key. Okay, now if you remember from our first reading today, we heard from Sharon, from Revelation chapter 12, the Apostle John is writing this in his old age, and he had a vision. He gave us his vision of Satan. He called him the great dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil, who leads the whole world astray, he said. That's important. The devil leads the whole world astray. But how? How does he manage that? How does the devil lead us astray? With truth and light? No. Nope, definitely not. With darkness and lies. In our gospel reading from John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus called him out. He declared it. He says the devil tricks us into believing his lies. He calls the devil, quote, a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. And then he says, for there is no truth in him. And Jesus goes on to say, he is a liar and the father of all lies. You remember that? The father of all lies. He's a liar. You think the truth and being truthful is important to Jesus? Better believe it. Why? Because he knows it's important for us and our lives. Yeah, the devil is a liar, and Jesus wants you to know that. The devil wants you to believe his lies and live under the cloud of his darkness. Jesus wants you to live in his truth and his light. The devil wants you to believe the ways of the world, that it's okay to lie and cheat and be selfish. Jesus says, no, I am the way and the truth and the life. The devil wants you to believe his accusations against you, that you're not worthy, you're no good, you will never be enough. And Jesus says, you're a child of God, you're loved, and you're forgiven. The devil says, you cannot defeat me. I will destroy you and everything you love. And Jesus says, don't believe him. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And we'll say it together. Jesus says, don't fear. I will say it with you. That one little word is liar. Amen.